True crime is one of the biggest genres in podcasting right now, and if you're a fan, chances are that you think you've heard of every single case that's out there. Well, if you're looking for a new podcast to binge, try Suspiria, a true crime podcast.
Every week, we cover interesting, outrageous, and unbelievable crimes that happen all over Latin America or involving Latin people, all through the voices of me, Carol,
and me, Stephanie. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Overcast, and many other streaming services. So check us out.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Hi friends, welcome to another episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have my awesome bestie with me, the one, the only, the Marie Rose.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Tonight we're checking right back in because we never really checked out. Hello, Hotel California. That's right, you guys, it's part two of all things haunted hotels. Before we unpack our jammies and imaginary REM pod, I want to say thank you to everyone that's hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and everything in between. Where can you find the Media Matters out in the universe? On Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, via email at themediamatters@gmail.com, on the show's website at themediamatters.com, and via Ghost Ship because it's still summer and there's still a little time to cruise the waters with a ghost. Did you guys catch that? The show's website is up. Finally, back up. Insert deep exhale right here. It is still being worked on and will likely always be in some state of workage, but it is open for business. Business right here. So go give it some love. Let's connect some more. Take a screenshot of you listening to this or any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app. Tag me in it and I will shout you out. Rate your favorite shows. Yes, please. If you haven't already done so, please make sure you leave a rating and or review for your favorite podcast and make sure your faves get seen. You can post your rating and review of these gems anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. The couple of minutes it takes to leave a few words or even 5 stars really does make a huge difference. It helps podcasts move up the charts and become more visible for newcomers to see. So please remember to type away and show your shows much love. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, who are you going to call? Well, the Media Matters, of course. That's right, friends. Don't feel like composing an email or DM? Call the show at 850-203-0118 and leave your real-life ghost story or stories on the show's voicemail. Remember, it will get played on the air, so make sure you let me know if you want it to remain private. Again, that's 850-203-0118. Stretch first, dial second. That said, I really do love reading your messages, so keep the words coming if that's your jam. Jot that little baby down, email it to me at themediamatters@gmail.com, or send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages. I will personally read and reply to your message and contact you to make arrangements for you to be on the show to tell your true life ghost story or stories right here on The Media Matters. And again, you guys, there is absolutely no pressure to be on the show. I am happy to read it on your behalf if that is more your jam and jelly. So no pressure, no judgment, just good, clean, scary fun. Our Patreon page is up and in the mood to make friends. Come hang with The Media Matters on Patreon and join the family. And speaking of family, we want to welcome Lori and Jeff to the family with Hulk-sized hugs and kisses. I am in the market for a brand new, never been heard before word for thank you, because that word really just doesn't seem like enough anymore. From our entire heart and soul at The Media Matters, thank you eternally, forever and ever, Lori and Jeff. You honestly have no idea what your continued love and support means. It means everything to everyone at The Media Matters. So thank you, and thank you some more. If you guys feel like someone is touching you right now, it's me giving you a little hug. If it feels inappropriate, that's definitely not me. So for $1 or more per month, Lori and Jeff are getting all kinds of love with exclusive Patreon-only content like early release of the weekly episodes, bonus episodes, mini-sodes, and so much more. Check us out at patreon.com/themediamatters for the deets and join the family. Now then, it is tarot time. We are like damn near at the end of the month. It is still not too late, you guys, but the days are numbered. What am I talking about? I am talking about that August magic. For 31 days for the month of August, Marie has taken on an awesome challenge and she is kicking its behind. What am I talking about still? Like, I'm going in circles. Let me tell you. 31 of our friends to the show will be selected in the month of August. She has already done quite a large portion of the month. We still have a few days, so a few people left to select. Submit one question to Marie at hellomarierose@gmail.com. Your question may not relate to health or legal issues. Marie will randomly select one person per day and will contact the reading recipient to notify them of their selection and work out the details of their tarot reading. Remember, there's still time. Not a lot, but there's still time. Make sure you submit your question soon for your chance to be selected. If you don't know how to spell hellomarierose@gmail.com or you have other questions pertaining to this specific contest or giveaway or whatever you want to call it, make sure you reach out to me via email at themediamatters@gmail.com or on one of the show's social media pages. You can send me a DM or whatever, and I will get right back to you. Now, is there anything we haven't covered, Marie Rose? Anything you want to tell our friends that they should know?
Well, you already covered, you know, no medical, no legal. We'll leave those to the doctors and the lawyers. When you send a question, make sure it's you stay away from yes, no questions. You know, stick to a question that will give you a bigger picture. You know, how, what, when, why, not yes and right. no's. If you do send me a yes, no question, that's fine. I'm just going to take that question and rephrase it so that we can get you a answer that answers the bigger picture, because sometimes you can send a question and, you know, we work with the tarot cards on it, and the answer that comes out may not be the answer you're looking for, but it's the answers that the guides are trying to get to you.
Right. That makes sense.
You know, you send in a question, I want to know this. Okay. I understand that. However, you really need to know A, B, and C because it's important. Right. And that's the message that comes across concerning that subject. I have had that happen, and the querent, the client, they totally related to it. They're like, okay, I get it. You know, was that the answer they were looking for? No, mm-hmm. But it happens.
Right. So an example of this, if I am correct, would be, I would like the winning lottery numbers. And what you may get back is you need to get on the ball and start that business you've been talking about starting for the last 17 years.
Right, right. You may get other financial mm-hmm. advice. You know, if you're meant to win the lottery, if that is in your life's path, then so be it. But chances are it's mm-hmm. not. So the guides may come back with something else.
Exactly. Well, thank you for that clarification. I wish we had thought to talk about that way early on, but this is how you learn. So when we do this again in the future, if Marie is guided to do this, then we'll know to put that up front. But it's not a super challenge to let everybody know as you're selecting them if that comes up. So it's all good. Well, guys, without further ado, let's get down with this week's Tarot Talk, which is brought to us by the one and only Marie Rose. Marie Rose, take it away.
So the card that I selected for this podcast is the Nine of Wands. And this poor guy, he is standing there and he's got, you know, he's holding this, you know, large stick. It's all, you know, taller than he is. It's, you know, one of the wands. And he's got a bandage around his head, and behind him are more wands kind of forming a fence. This guy has already been in a fight, and based on the look on his face, he is ready to fight again. The wands behind him, they suggest that, you know, it's like a boundary, and I'm not sure if he's protecting that boundary or if he's standing behind it and he is being protected. I guess it could go either way. But, it represents kind of a rest during, you know, after a struggle. know, the look on this guy's face, he's definitely prepared. He has got strength that he can draw upon if he needs to. It looks like he will win the fight if pushed again. He's been hurt once, and he's not scared to fight again. He's strong. This card, this key, basically means, we tussled once, and I'm not scared to face you again. Mm-hmm. Don't want to, but I will. So strength, power, and it also, I've also understand that this card means health. It's been a struggle, but yes, I'm healthy. Because this guy is standing. He's not in bed. He's been hurt, but he is standing up on his own 2 feet, and he's holding, what could be a weapon again. And he's ready to have at it again. He's wiser and smarter and can take you out if he has to, whether it's a situation or health issues or whatever. This is a pretty strong card.
It seems like it. Wow. Well, that's very cool. Thank you for that awesome tarot talk to carry us through the new week.
Yes.
I like it. So this week's Can't Resist Crystal is the one and only fluorite. If you don't know what crystal this is, that is spelled F-L-U-O-R-I-T-E. And it is so pretty, you guys. This crystal looks like a rainbow. It has purples and greens and blue, and it's very, very pretty. It almost looks like it's reflecting a rainbow. Like it is very, very pretty. So from my favorite site, energymuse.com, a fluorite stone acts like a vacuum cleaner for your mind, clearing it of confusion, clutter, thoughts, negativity, and any thoughts that no longer serve your best interest. It helps to balance both the heart chakra with calm love and bringing clarity of mind by cleansing all other chakras of their negativity. Fluorite stones are said to absorb and neutralize all negative vibrations, making them the perfect gemstone to keep in the home. In fact, many people keep fluorite stones in every room of their house to ensure there is always a flow of positive energy. Fluorite is also sometimes referred to as the genius stone because it increases concentration and aids in decision making. I should definitely strap fluorite to my entire body because I feel like I have ADD. I really do.
Yeah, so I've actually used this stone before for studying. This is also a very good stone for studying. I gave it to my daughter. I gave her actually a little pouch full of different stones when she went to college. And when she was studying for her exams, I let her know, hey, the fluorite's in there. Have that with you when you study. Mm-hmm. And, because like you said, it clears out, it calms your head, clears out the stuff you don't need, and study with that stone. Like you said, it's positive energy, and she took that stone with her to the test. And what you're supposed to do is when you get stuck on a question, hold the stone, clear your head, and then let what you studied come back to you. Let the answers come back to you. And she had great success with that stone. And I actually got that tip from our friend Lily, because she did that for her niece when she was going through school. And I was like, okay, well, great. I tried it with my, gave it to my daughter, and she had great results. I mean, to the point where, it was, would roll down around to finals, and my daughter would be in the library and she'd be studying, and her friends would all come around because they literally asked her, did you bring your magic stones? Because they wanted to study with the girl that had the magic stones, because they felt like it helped them too.
It does.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah. And like anything else, make sure you set the intention. This is what it's strongest at doing, but you have to give it the job also.
Yes, tell it what exactly. You need. Hold it close to your heart. Thank it for being with you. Say, hey, this is what I'm doing today. Please help me out.
Yep, you gotta build a little relationship. When you do combine your fluorite with other healing gemstones, it does magnify and amplify the power of the other gemstones. It's very powerful to use as a meditation stone to help energize your body, raise your concentration, and pave the way for the power of the other gemstones you are using. For more information on fluorite and other crystals, make sure you check out energymuse.com or whichever site resonates with you. That is our crystal of the week. Yay! And I really feel like I need to hit Stone Soup or the Rock Shop and get more crystals because it has been a holy minute.
Girl, I'm with you. I'm ready. I'm ready. Just let me know. I mean, maybe this weekend.
Maybe so. And you guys, in case I forgot to mention it, my Marie Rose and I are not together again this week recording because our schedules have us all over the place. So we are Skyping one more time, and our main focus is just making sure that we can get the show out, get it recorded and out to you guys. So bear with us on sound quality. It's not our typical setup, which our typical setup is still kind of like we're feeling it out. It's the podcast on the road. So yeah, sorry for the quality if it's not up to your standards, but just be patient.
We'll get through it.
It is now time to grab your REM pod and your cross and your pendulum and your crystals and protect the heck out of yourself because we are checking back into those creepy haunted hotels. So as a recap, last week we talked about the Crescent Hotel. We talked about the Roosevelt that's in Hollywood. I mean, we covered a few of the Hollywood hotels, two of which are said to be haunted by Marilyn Monroe. So she must be really making the rounds. We talked about John Belushi at the Chateau Marmont, the Knickerbocker Hotel, and I mean, so many of them. It was very cool talking about these. So we have even more haunted hotels for you guys this week. Let's kick it off. Marie Rose, do you want to get us going?
Sure. So let's go to New Orleans, a very haunted town. And let's talk about the Audubon Cottages.
Ooh.
Yeah. So they were first built in the late 18th century. And that was named after, you guess it, John James Audubon, the bird guy. Yeah. He actually lived in one of the cottages in the first half of the 19th century. The Audubon cottages have managed to stand the test of time. They've been renovated and continuing maintenance. And like a lot of historic properties, it's said to be haunted. The Cottage number 2 and cottage number 4 are supposedly the ones that have the most paranormal activity. Anything from disembodied voices to the feeling of being touched. I mean, all of these things is common. Cottage 4 has a Confederate soldier spirit who ensures that the radio is always playing country music. Okay, that cracks me up. And this Confederate soldier can also be found in the courtyard. So bring your REM pod and let's see if he lights it up.
Mm-mm. Oh my god.
That's kind of cool.
I like that a lot. So we're going to move on down the road. Actually, a little farther than that. We're going to go to the Alexandria Hotel. Today, it serves as apartments, but when it originally opened in 1923, it was quite luxurious as a hotel. Some of the famous guests, William Howard Taft, Theodore Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, plus Rudolph Valentino, Mary Pickford, Charlie Chapman, amongst many, many others. The ballroom on the second floor is supposedly haunted by a handful of dancers. So I imagine this to be like Michael Jackson Beat It or West Side Story, where it's like a dance off. No, my tap is better. I don't know what kind of dance off they're having, but an angry teenager has been spotted in Charlie Chapman's old suite. Rudolph Valentino, when he's not over at the Knickerbocker, swings by the Alexandria to skulk around his old 20th floor room. He may or may not be alone. A manager told The Hollywood Reporter that a famous person died on the 12th floor. A lot of activity is reported at the Alexandria. Creepers. Creepers.
That is creepy. Mm-hmm. That is creepy.
That is creepy. What do you have for us?
Okay, so I am going to stick with our favorite haunted city, New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much activity in that town. I mean, because it is, I mean, it's a like a bowl. It's, you know, below sea mm-hmm. level. And it's like a lot of spirits kind of get stuck there and they can't get out. So it's a town with a lot of history and a lot of ghost stories. So the hotel that we're going to go over this time is the Hotel Provincial. And it's a two-story hotel, has 94 rooms, and it's right there in the famous French Quarter. It's a retreat into just old-time New Orleans. And like many of the New Orleans properties, it's got a lot of paranormal activity. And like other hotels, it's been a medical facility in the past for wounded Confederate soldiers. Mm. You know, Confederate soldiers, you know, haunt this hotel as well. You know, distressed soldiers and operating doctors and pools of blood. I mean, the guests have reported it all. And if staying at the property is just too scary for you, again, you could get one of the New Orleans ghost tours and walk the city to see hotels like this. The hotel is lovely. It's, you know, it's got a pool in the courtyard, and it's a pretty famous hotel. I think I have some friends that have stayed here, but their stories were more alcohol related than ghost related. So.
Good Lord.
But it is a pretty haunted hotel. I mean, can you imagine being in a hotel and just start seeing pools of blood?
No. That sounds a lot like The Shining.
It does, mm-hmm. doesn't mm-hmm. it?
That's a hard pass. Hard pass. All right. Up next. A little down the road, or a lot down the road, we have the Copper Queen. The Copper Queen is nestled in Bisbee, Arizona, and is a Victorian-style hotel constructed in 1902 for high-class investors, dignitaries, and politicians visiting the booming town of Bisbee and its mines. For nearly 100 years, the mines produced 8 billion pounds of copper, 102 million ounces of silver, and 2.8 million ounces of gold, along with millions of pounds of zinc, lead, and manganese, which is in freaking incredible. So business was booming. No wonder they had the Copper Queen to put all of these important people up. Now then, here is some of the history of the manifestations. There are reportedly 3 resident ghosts in the Copper Queen Hotel. One of the ghostly residents is an older gentleman who has long hair and a beard. He is usually seen wearing a top hat and a black cape. Could be a shadow person, I'm just saying. Guests and staff have claimed smelling the aroma of cigar either before or after seeing him. He mostly appears at the doorway and sometimes as a shadow in the rooms, which are located on the 4th floor. The second guest, and perhaps the most famous, is that of a woman in her 30s by the name of Julia Lowell. It's said that she was a prostitute and she used the hotel for her and her clients. She fell madly in love with one of her clients, and when she told him, he no longer wanted to see her, which is very, very sad. She took her own life at the hotel, and guests and staff at the hotel said that they feel her presence on the second and third floors of the west side of the building. Male staff and guests have reported hearing a female voice whispering in their ear. Others have also reported seeing her dancing provocatively at the foot of the stairs. She likes to play with men's feet. And as a tribute to her, one of the rooms in the hotel is named the Julia Lowell Room. Right? A ghost that likes to play with feet. It's okay, a lot.
It's just a fetish. It's just a fetish that we don't even know about.
The third ghost is the youngest and is the ghost of a little boy. It's reported that he drowned in the San Pedro River. His presence in the hotel is explained through his relatives or parents who once worked at the hotel. Guests have reported objects being moved by the little ghost in their rooms, while others have reported hearing footsteps in the halls and giggling. The little boy's ghost has never been seen, only heard. Which is crazy. I know. So, yeah, we have a few more. There is a stately woman dressed in black. It's a turn of the century evening gown, and she's been seen walking up and down the grand staircase. And when she's on her way to the dining room, she disappears, which is very kind of her. Or creepy, I don't know.
That's ghosts.
I know. There's also a reddish brown haired, solid pink complexioned apparition of a young woman in her early 20s. She has appeared at the front desk, two employees, and in the dining room from the waist up. Her hair is always up in a bun, and she is wearing early 1900s era, like a high collared blouse from that era. And maybe she worked there as a server, or I mean, we have no idea. So this same front desk employee would occasionally hear the sound of a woman walking across the dining room floor and the sound of her long skirt dragging across the room as well when no one was there. That is a hard pass. A hard pass. I know. Another entity, known as Howard, checks up on the hotel employees, seeing how they're doing. Front desk employees...
A ghost name, Howard.
I know. Front desk employees often get a phone call from... this past 1910 front desk clerk. After answering the phone, they hear a disembodied voice asking for Howard. While working on the hotel's computer, an employee felt a presence enter the office, which stands behind the employee's chair and looks over the employee's shoulder as she feels chills run through her spine. That is a hard pass. So she's sitting there working away. She feels someone walk up behind her, enter the office, and just stand there. No, that's a hard.
Yeah, that's like stalker.
Yeah, that's really weird. Lastly is the spirit of a man who inhabits the third floor as well. Employees hear their name being called as they go about their jobs on the third floor and throughout the hotel as well. The heavy steps of a man's heavy boots are heard walking up and down the third floor hallway. I shan't be going to the Copper Queen. That's okay. Not for me. Where else are we visiting, Marie Rose?
So, we are going to cross the pond and go to London. There is a 5-star luxury hotel, and it is absolutely beautiful. It's called the Langham Hotel, and it's one of the more notable historical hotels in London. It's been around since 1865, and it opened as London's first luxury hotel. So the hotel is a frequent place of lodging for celebrities, royalty, and, you guessed it, ghosts. The guests have reported seeing the apparition of a German prince, a German soldier, a doctor who murdered his wife and then turned around and killed himself on their honeymoon, and many other spirits. They say that the spirit of the Emperor Napoleon III, who lived at the Langham during his last days in exile, occupies the basement. In room 333 is the most haunted of all the guest rooms and is available for you to stay in if you are brave enough. And, I mean, the thing is, if I am going to stay in a haunted hotel, it's got to be this place. This place is so friggin' gorgeous. I mean, the bar is gorgeous. The dining room is gorgeous. I mean, it's luxury. It's the epitome of London luxury. I mean, I just, yeah, if you're going to haunt me here. Right. I'll do it. This is gorgeous.
Come on. Very cool, though. We could go across the pond.
Oh, I'm in. I think my passport's still
good. I like
good.
It. Mine is. And if it's not, yep. Then I'll just get another one. What else? All right, we're going to check out the Biltmore Hotel right here in our home state of Florida. The Coral Gables Biltmore Hotel in Florida is a Mediterranean mansion hotel with fountains, terraces, and columned loggias. I don't know. It has long been a favorite haunt of celebrities and dignitaries, as well as the general public. It's also a favorite of long-dead guests who have chosen to return to spend eternity at the hotel they love so well in life. One of the spirits that are said to haunt this 1926 hotel is that of mobster Fatty Walsh, who was killed at the hotel in the midst of a gambling dispute. Ever the gentleman, he is said to open doors for the waitresses as they carry trays in and out of the restaurant. He's also been known to write messages on mirrors, steal lampshades, turn off lights, and play with the elevator buttons, sending guests to the wrong floors. There have also been reports of a woman in white believed to be the spirit of a woman who jumped out of the tower, although her reasons for doing so are not known. There has also been a waltzing couple seen dancing across the floor before vanishing abruptly. Many veterans died in the building during the hospital years, and many hospitals listed on hauntedhouses.com have entities who died there while staying there as a patient. A young mother fell to her death trying to save her three-year-old son, who had climbed up on the balcony railing of their high-rise tower suite. People who die during the process of trying to save a loved one or giving birth to their child sometimes haunt the place of their death, as they don't know if their loved one was saved or not. So that is, I've heard that before. That's sad. A married woman was caught by her husband in bed with her lover. The husband killed them both. Marital infidelity has long been a cause of murder. Being caught in a room with a lover often turns out badly. You don't say. During the 1920s and 30s, gangsters, while on their downtime, have tried to behave in places that have, that the public visits, and in mob-owned businesses, though sometimes their business or lifestyle or their temper issues catch up with them, ending in the death of others. Wilson shot Fatty to death in their 13th floor speakeasy. Fatty truly loved this new illegal business venture and all its perks, and really enjoyed the Biltmore as well. Being suddenly murdered and having all that taken away, you can understand why he would maybe not even know that he has crossed over to the other side, if he has crossed over. And that's why he hangs out at the hotel. No one knows. Mm-hmm. There was a period of time when the Biltmore was vacant. That was 1973 to 1983. And people who were standing on the golf course behind the hotel used to be able to see windows open and close by themselves and mysterious lights seen in the windows. They also...
Wait, so the building was vacant for 10 years?
Yeah, 10 years. It was vacant. And while it was vacant, people would see activity just taking place. Like, people were in there cleaning or just trying to air the place out. I don't know. Maybe that's what the ghosts were doing. They were just trying to air it out. They also heard the sounds of music coming from the hotel. And because the electricity was off inside the building, many thought that the spirits that remained there had taken up residence. Because why else would this stuff be going on?
Yeah, why not?
The officials thought that real people must be the real culprits, and appropriate action was planned. Thinking that transients were trespassing and squatting in the hotel, the authorities sent in dogs and police to find the culprits, but came up empty-handed. 14 police officers and 2 detectives did see paranormal activity, as their presence did scare the entities. They heard breaking glass, witnessed the windows on the top floor open and close by themselves, and also saw phantom apparitions fleeing down the hallways. Their dogs also sensed entities and ran out of the hotel. That is the wisest thing I've heard.
Well, yeah, because dogs are typically smarter than
Yes. people. Guests have been teased by entities who open and close doors and play with the lights. Guests have also been awakened to see male entities dressed in hospital gowns looking at them. These shy entities have also been seen wandering the hallways and disappear as soon as the living see them. A transparent couple has been seen dancing in one of the ballrooms, which we talked about, and they tend to vanish into thin air when they catch wind of somebody looking at them. There's a lot of activity at this hotel, and I think it would be another cool one to put on our list, especially because it's in our home state. We just have to find out how far it is, because if it's anywhere near the Keys, we're flying, we're not driving.
Right.
And that's it for this hotel.
Well, let's go to Savannah, Georgia, down to the historic district.
Yes.
And talk about the Marshall House. It was built in 1851. It's 68 rooms and accommodated Union soldiers during the Civil War. And many say that their spirits still walk around the hallways of this hotel. It is the oldest hotel in Savannah, and it acted as a hospital three times, once for soldiers and twice for the yellow fever epidemic. During the renovation of this hotel, workers found human remains under the floorboards from long ago surgeries when the ground was frozen and nothing could be buried. In addition to seeing ghosts throughout the hotel, guests reported hearing children running down the halls, faucets turning on by themselves, and the rattling of doorknobs.
Nope.
And yeah, kind of spooky. But this hotel, again, it's another one of those lovely hotels. It's kind of got a French Quarter feel to it, like any other. It's got the balconies, like the buildings in the French Quarter in New Orleans do. But this is in Savannah, and it's a beautiful historic hotel. It just has a few ghosts in it.
Just a few.
Soldiers, children, you name it.
Mm-mm.
It's got
no,
it.
Thank you. I don't think so.
I mean, as long as they're not hurting me, I'm game.
They can, even when they're not hurting you, they can sometimes linger and just stare, or I don't know. It's kind of weird.
And they can stay. They're just not coming with
me. Okay. Okay. I'm going to let you go there. Up next, we have Myrtle's Plantation. I know you guys have heard of the Myrtle's Plantation. I know it. This is the plantation where the Ghost Brothers went, is it not?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It is, right?
I remember. I think it is.
Yeah, I think so too. So this place has a very, very long history. Let's take a trip down memory lane. So the Myrtle's Plantation was built back in 1796 for General David Whiskey Dave Bradford. Bradford originally called the plantation Laurel Grove and lived on the plantation by himself until his wife Elizabeth moved from Pennsylvania with the rest of the family to join him. Over the years, it has changed ownership many times. Bradford's daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Clark, took control of the plantation in 1808 following her father's passing. They maintained ownership until 1851 when Ruffin Gray Sterling and his wife purchased the plantation. They did a lot of remodeling, which almost doubled the size, the original size. The plantation changed hands again many, many times, and started again with Sterling's death in 1854. If you visit the Myrtle's Plantation today, you will be visiting what is considered to be one of the most haunted places in the entire United States. As it stands, the Myrtle Plantation is a bed and breakfast that is also well known for its incredible service as it is for its paranormal activity. Visitors and tourists visit the location to have the opportunity to stay on the property or to attend many of the different events people host at the Myrtle's Plantation. With regard to the paranormal activity at Myrtle's, the claims of activity have been so extensive that Myrtle's has been featured in books, TV shows, and movies. Countless paranormal investigators have come to the location to investigate the claims made, which includes teams from the Sci-Fi Channel and the TAPS team. Some of the claims include the sighting of two murdered children and Chloe, a servant who was hung after poisoning a cake Clark Woodruff's family ate and subsequently died. The dying footsteps of William Drew Winter, an attorney who lived and was murdered on the plantation, have been heard by staff members and visitors alike. It has also been said the grand piano plays the same song by itself. Crazy. So let's dive a little deeper, shall we? It's not surprising that this mansion is the most haunted in the region because it has such a violent past. 10 people were killed or murdered in the plantation mansion itself or on the grounds near it. At last count, there are at least 12 restless ones residing there. Why? Oh my God. I mean, it's very pretty. Very, very pretty. But with this crazy past, I would not want to be a ghost there. Mm-mm. One would never guess that this mansion has such a violent past and so many unseen residents by looking at the outward inward appearance. The mansion sits on top of a very old Indian grave and is in the midst of a grove of moss-draped oaks and pink-blossomed crepe myrtle trees. The outside of the mansion sports wide verandas adorned with the lacy style of wrought iron and plenty of porch rockers. The backyard hosts a small pond with an island and a gazebo complete with chairs. I mean, it is very, very beautiful, very picturesque. And I mean, the amount of activity that they have. So let's go back to one of the more well-known stories. So there have been sightings of a green-turbaned black woman who wanders around the mansion during the night and has been known to wake visitors by lifting the mosquito netting around the bed and looking intently at the bed's occupant. This woman is known to be Chloe, who was the French governess to the Woodruff children and one of the many lovers of Judge Woodruff, who was son-in-law of Bradford, who was the owner of the Myrtles from 1817. The story goes that after Judge Woodruff stopped their affair and cut off her ear after he had caught Chloe listening in on a business meeting, Chloe got her revenge by presenting a poison lace cake as a peace offering on the occasion of the eldest daughter's birthday. Two of the Woodruff children and the missus died from eating it. Chloe herself was hung from a high tree by the outraged slaves of the plantation. It is a very, very, just very sad past. A former owner of Myrtles had a face-to-face encounter with Chloe, who awakened her and at first scared this owner as Chloe looked intently at her, then seemed to seemed disappointed, as if she was looking for someone else. Chloe was decked out in a flowing gown and turban. However, after living in the mansion for a while, this former owner enjoyed having Chloe and the other ghosts around and thought they were really quite friendly and civil while with traditional Southern manners. Two little blonde girls have been seen peeking in the windows and visited a startled rider by standing at the foot of his bed. Were these the Woodruff children who were poisoned? These two blonde girls are also seen playing on the veranda. A lot of other energies hang around the Myrtles plantation. I think too many to count. But if you ever watch, I mean, damn near any paranormal investigation show, they will likely cover the Myrtles plantation because it really is one of the most haunted places in the United States. Creepiness.
Creepy. Mm-hmm. Creepy.
Super creepy. Creepy. And sad past. Really sad past. There is a lot of that, you know, when there's stories like this of like someone was wronged and someone, you know, there's, I don't know, when it's a violent death, I just don't know what that does to you, you know?
Yeah. I want to go to hotels that have happy
people. The Care Bears.
And that, right. And that where I can like sleep in luxury.
I hear you, sister. I hear you. Where are we checking in next?
Okay, so again, we're going to cross the pond. Yay. And go to the north end of Ireland at the Ballygally Castle. And it's on the coast, and it was built in 1625. And I just like saying Ballygally. It has a lot of history. The original owner, Lord James Shaw, and his wife, Lady Isabella, lived at the castle. And apparently this castle has a few ghosts, but one stands out more than the others. So the legend has it is that Lord Shaw wanted a son. And when his wife delivered his heir, he snatched the baby from her, locked her in the room at the top of the castle, and while trying to escape to search for her beloved baby, she fell to her death from the tower window. Now, there are other theories. You know, did she fall to her death? Was she pushed? Who knows? Did she jump? Who knows? So, obviously, her husband was an asshole, so it's very possible that him or one of his henchmen tossed her over. But she is the friendly ghost who walks around the hallways of the castle. over the years, the guests have reported very strange feelings. They feel her presence in their rooms. There's unexplained noises during the nights and sometimes even a green mist over the castle.
Wow, that'd be something to see.
Right, so they even have a room called the Ghost Room, and it's in one of the towers in the oldest part of the castle in her honor. She wanders around and disappears. And this has been going on probably for about 400 years now.
Wow.
So.
That's crazy.
It doesn't look like a fancy hotel. I mean, it was built in 1625. It's very unassuming, but it is on the beautiful coast of Ireland, and who wouldn't want to go? I mean, I would love to go to Ireland.
I would too.
And if it's a friendly ghost, hey, I'm in. I don't do scary. You know me.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
You know,
if I am away from home and I'm at a hotel, I would like to sleep that night. And it's already a challenge because you're not in your element. You know what I mean?
Right. And let's talk about that for a minute. So you and I have both been taught when we travel to protect our hotel rooms. Now, the hotel room is not our space to clear. I mean, that we don't own that space. But when I do go to a hotel, I do bring my crystals with me. I bring the selenite and the smoky quartz, and I grid the room. I grid the bed. I grid the room so I can get a good night's sleep. Mm-hmm. And basically, you know, to protect the space while it's yours.
Right. Because it is yours temporarily. So exactly. You do have the right to protect it.
Right. I mean, you can't go through and do a hard clearing of it because that's not your place to do so. But while you're there, yeah, you can grid it and whatnot and protect it that way and make sure that, you know, you don't bring any energy home with you. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So if we can go to one of these hotels, I'd grid my little room and go see what we can mm-hmm. find.
I would holy water everything.
Friendly ghosts. Friendly ghosts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Friendly ghosts.
Okay. Okay, Marie Rose. We are heading to Massachusetts. That's right, guys. We're going to the Hawthorne Hotel in Salem. This hotel has become something of a landmark for visitors since it was built in 1925, and not surprisingly, the hotel, like so many other buildings in the city, is supposed to be haunted due to the dark and bloody history, which dates back to the witch trials of 1692. And again, a long, long history. It is a very old establishment, a lot of energy in and out of this place for many, 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 many years. So what is it truly? No one knows. There are rumors that the hotel is haunted, although they have never been confirmed. The TV show Ghost Hunters did an extensive investigation in 2007, but their reports were inconclusive, surprisingly. Over the years, guests have reported activities in rooms 325 and 612. Some say they have seen the apparition of a woman lingering in the corridors, yet others have felt a more active presence in the rooms. Very, very crazy. I think it's interesting that they haven't confirmed anything. And after doing like extensive research, very interesting. Although, you know, there are others that say that they do have proof that there's, you know, stuff going on there. I don't know. I've not seen it. What do you have for us, Marie Rose?
All right. So let's go up north to Cape May. It's actually called the Southern Mansion. I know it's, I said, you know, to me it's north, but it is called the Southern Mansion. Originally, it was a country estate for Philadelphia industrialist George Allen and his family. The Southern Mansion was built in 1863, and when the last of Allen's relatives, Esther McCrore, passed away, her husband sold the property. It was later bought and restored to its former glory using many of the original heirlooms. times. And it is said that Esther, who was George Allen's niece, can be seen walking through the property, particularly in the kitchen. And when you check into this hotel, if you ask, the staff will tell you ghost stories upon request. And it is a, it, like I said, it's a historic building, beautifully done, surrounded with antiques. And I mean, it just looks like a hotel that a ghost named Esther would be wandering around. like I said, it's a bed and breakfast and very prim and proper. And again, happy.
That's all you care about. That's all you care about. All right. The last one on our list is the Menger Hotel, or the Menger Hotel. I think it's the Menger Hotel. This hotel is described as a high-class hotel with 5 stories, 316 rooms, and has more than 130 years of refinements, which creates a masterpiece of traditional elegance and atmosphere. The Menger Hotel was built in 1859 by William A. Menger and architect John Fries, a mere 23 years after the bloody fight at the Alamo. It was a first-class hotel from its very beginning, had many well-known people enjoy the perks and hospitality, including those like Theodore Roosevelt, Babe Ruth, Robert E. Lee, Ulysses S. Grant, and many, many others. Some of the manifestations that have been reported, I mean, and it is extensive, but here are some of them. So it's not only a very appealing place for the enjoyment of the living, but has been a long time favorite place for a variety of spirits and ghosts. It was built on ground, which is just steps away from where the famous Battle of the Alamo took place 23 years earlier, making it prone from the start to attract unseen guests. So it's not surprising that the hotel is also home to at least 32 different entities who don't mind sharing the hotel with the living at all as they go about their business at hand. Some of these entities have floated in from the Alamo site, which is common in buildings situated on or near a major battleground. Many of the entities have enjoyed the hotel while they were living and are so attached that they wanted to stay in the afterlife. So here is one. Sally White was a maid who took her job seriously. Despite the fact that she was murdered by her jealous husband, she continues to walk along the hotel hallways, going about her business, carrying a load of clean towels for the guests, which never seemed to be delivered. She's been seen, especially at night, for many, many years. She wears an old long gray skirt with a bandana around her forehead, the uniform common in her era. Captain Richard King, the one-time bigwig owner of the King Ranch, seems to be as fond of the Menger Hotel as he was when he was living and isn't shy about appearing to guests and employees as well. He still enters his old room, the King Suite, usually going right through the wall, not where the door is now, but where the door was located before the room was remodeled. Creepy. A lady wearing small metal frame glasses, who was dressed in an old-fashioned blue dress sporting a beret with a tassel, has made herself comfortable in the original lobby, busily working on her newest knitting project. A well-trained employee, seeing what looks like a real woman, comes over to her and asks, "Are you comfortable? May I get you something?" Imagine the employee's surprise when the woman answers no in a rather rude manner and then melts into thin air. No. Mm-mm. That is okay. That's a few of the entities that have been seen there. There are many, many others. What was it, 32? Something like that have been reported?
That's scary.
Yeah, that's very scary.
That's too populated.
Yeah, that's a hard pass. No. Friends, that's our episode on part 2 of Haunted Hotels. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love all of you so, so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you even more love. Want to feel oh so special? Take a screenshot of you listening to this or any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app. Be sure to tag me in it and I will shout you out. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com, via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. And remember, your voicemail will be played on the air, so let me know if you'd prefer to keep it quiet. Would you like a personalized tarot reading from The Marie Rose? There are just a few days left.
Be sure to submit your question at hellomarierose@gmail.com before the month of August is out for your chance to be selected for a personalized reading. Are you liking the show? Subscribe, rate, review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it easier for others to find your faves. Join the family on Patreon for super exclusive content like bonus episodes, early release of the weekly episodes, and so much more. Head on over to patreon.com/themediummatters and claim your spot in the family tree. With that, you guys, it's a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of The Medium Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.